greatest symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
Free shows fans, what is going on? This is your April bonus episode for Grilling JR. I, of course, am John Alba, joined by the voice of wrestling himself, Mr. Jim Ross. JR, how are you tonight, my friend?
I'm well, John. Thanks for doing this for us.
Hey,
should be fun.
I am so excited to finally get a chance to chat with you on camera. Your career has been so influential on mine, Jim, and you and I have interacted in the past, and finally getting to share the screen with you genuinely really means a lot to me, and I'm really excited to watch this match back with you.
Yeah, me too. I have not watched it back, and I don't know how many years. I can't even remember the last time I saw it. I didn't go back and watch a lot of the stuff. So at least find a lot of guys don't do that. They don't go back and watch their own work. So I'm looking forward to it. In other words,
we are approaching the 20-year anniversary. If some of you are watching this in hindsight, it will have surpassed that of Backlash 2002, which of course is where Hulk Hogan won the WWE Undisputed Championship from Triple H. And that is what we are doing a watch along of here. So how about we pull that video up and we'll start asking some questions along the way. I'm really looking forward to this. Let's get that video queued. And we will begin our watch along here of the main event of Backlash 2002. Let's start with the sound up and get an idea.
Ladies and gentlemen, coming up next, a matchup for the Undisputed Championship. Can Hollywood Hulk Hogan do it one more time? We're about to find out.
Have you decided on who the number one contender is?
I don't succumb to public pressure. I could care less what the public wants, because quite frankly, I know what they want better than they do. Therefore, at Backlash, Triple H defends the undisputed WWF Championship against Hulk Hogan.
The true colors of the Hulkster, the bright red.
So, Jim, this was something that, if you could bring the audio down for a second, this is something that a lot of fans maybe didn't see coming, because it wasn't originally the plan. At least that's what's reported, and that's what all indications are. When do you remember Hulk Hogan coming into the main event picture plans to face Triple H for the championship?
Well, it wasn't planned long-term, obviously, as you said. So it was late in the game when that match was booked. And, you know, it was the question I asked was, can Hulk Hogan regain the sizzle that he once had and win a championship? So it had a nice little backstory, but it wasn't long in developing. As far as this particular angle was concerned, it kind of flew at us and surprised everybody. I thought it was a great attraction. It certainly, I don't remember how well it did on pay-per-view. I don't have any idea, but I know that the crowd liked it. It was a classic match in respect. You got two Hall of Fame guys that, you know, Triple H grew up watching Hulk Hogan. Triple H grew up in New Hampshire. He was a WWF guy all along. And so now here we are.
Do you remember having any conversations with Triple H about his anticipation to get a chance to work a main event match with Hulk Hogan?
Well, he was excited about it. I know that. There may have been some minor apprehensions, because you just really never knew how Hogan's back was going to hold up. He had so many surgeries. He's, you know, band-aided back together, you know, like I said, with multiple surgeries, and he wasn't a spring chicken. So there was some apprehension there by everybody, and I'm including Hulk in that. You know, you just don't know how he's going to react and how long the match can go, still be productive and exciting. So, but, you know, Hogan knew how to play his role better than anybody. And so that's what we ended up with. So the question was, What's Hulk got left in the tank? Because we knew Triple H was raring to go. And for a guy like Triple H, you know, to be able to work with Hogan, dream come true. You know, his hero was Hulk Hogan at one point in his life. How do you grow up in the WWE world and not be a fan of Hulk Hogan? He was so prominent in his his journey with the company and set records establish things that people thought might not ever happen. We have a full house there, it looks like. So
yes, about 13,000 fans, and it did about 400,000 buys. WrestleMania that year, the month prior, was 840,000 buys. So still a strong number for a post-WrestleMania pay-per-view, all things considered. And most importantly, JR, he's rocking the red and gold. That's Hulk Hogan that everybody grew up on.
Well, that's the Hulk Hogan babyface costume, ring attire, whatever you want to say. And that's what the fans paid to see. It's much akin to how we saw the crowd react at WrestleMania 18 in Toronto when Hogan fought Rock. So the NWO stuff was in the rearview mirror, and here comes Hogan. And, you know, you got to believe that there's a lot of fans there that grew up on Hulk Hogan, that had their kids with them, and to kind of relive a little nostalgia. But Hogan looked good. He knew his role. Hogan's a great psychologist, and he had to be, because physically, he didn't have, how could he? With all those surgeries and at his age, you know, what, again, the unknown was the unknown. How's he gonna respond? And so that was the question.
I can't wait to break down the psychology of this match with you, because it's very much portrayed as a battle of titans. And I think we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about what Triple H had just accomplished coming off main eventing WrestleMania. Maybe he got showed up a little bit by the Rock and Hogan match because of match placement, but he had this big babyface return. We all remember the Madison Square Garden show, right? And he's your champion for barely a month, and now he's going into this to drop the title to Hulk Hogan. Are there any concerns long-term how something like that might affect him?
Affect Hogan?
Or affect Triple H after just having a one-month run there?
No. Fans put too much in that bullshit. One-month run. He had a one-month run that could kill his career. You know, so stupid. So, no, I don't think there was any issues at all. It's always just a rematch away from getting things put back where they were. So we always knew we had that card to play.
So then forget about if they're hurt or not, but maybe from a character perspective, he was the white-hot babyface returning, and now you're putting him against another really big babyface in Hulk Hogan. Is there worry how that might affect how he's portrayed and received?
Well, we figured that Hogan's going to get cheered a lot. And Triple H always embraced being a heel, being booed. He liked to control the crowd in that respect. And he's really, really good at it. And he was, you know, between Triple H and Vince, they were by far the best heels, in my opinion, that we had in the Attitude Era. And so it's a challenge for a younger guy like Triple H to go out there and pull a house, wrestle a guy he's seen on TV a zillion times. And, you know, I don't know how close they ever were, all that backstory stuff and what's the dirt and all this other shit. They had a job to do. And without us overthinking it, it was a great challenge. It's going to be a great challenge for Triple H to measure how much fuel was in the tank of Hulk Hogan.
How amazing was that camera shot right there with Hulk Hogan lurking behind Triple H? Right place, right time.
Yeah, he knew what he was doing. That wasn't by accident either. Hogan knew what he was doing. He's bleeding every opportunity that he could out of the setup for the start of this match. I miss all those signs and posters. I hope that we continue to build that aspect of our audience with AEW, because I just think it adds a lot of flavor to the ambiance of a match, the atmosphere of a match.
I miss all of the flashing bulbs from the cameras. It always made a moment feel so grandiose, and with camera phones, you're just not going to have that anymore. You can see the stare down here. I'll tell you what, I know you talk about being tougher than a $2 steak, but they are the color of $2 steak. These boys both went tanning right before this thing. Oh, man. As a main event tan for both of these guys, and we're ready to go here. Undisputed championship on the line.
I think Meltzer gave their tan an 8. 8 stars.
Eric Bischoff would be very pleased by how tan both these individuals are. So when you're thinking about a match between wrestlers of these, of this caliber, of this style, what are you anticipating in terms of the genetic makeup of it? Are you anticipating that it's just going to be very story driven, psychology driven, physicality? As a guy telling the story here on commentary, what are you focusing on?
What I see on the monitor. They got to write the music, and we got to provide the lyrics. Simple as that. So I didn't go in and say, okay, Hogan's going to do this and Triple H is going to do that. That's not how I work. And I don't think that's the way you should work. Let the event come to you and add the appropriate lyric to what these gentlemen are doing physically in the ring. We know the bottom line. We know where it's going. I might have even known this may be one of the few opportunities because of the live event booking that I was doing. You kind of got to get a little ahead of the curve a little bit on your planning. So, and we knew that Hogan was not going to be a house show guy. He couldn't hold up with that aggressive a schedule at that point in his life. So, you know, you just let it come to you. You don't force anything. Don't try to tell a story that isn't there. I love the intensity.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's really good. I'm not wild about Hogan trying to wrestle with his do-rag on. I think that's, I have the same feeling of that as I do about guys that wrestle with earrings and necklaces.
It is going to come off at some point during this match, but I love it. This is such a great way to establish a story here. Just strong lockups, pose down between them. It's easy, but it's effective.
What Triple H is doing here is he's realizing through the story they're telling that the old dog still got some strength left in him. And so now Triple H kind of, okay, all right, I see you brought a little something. Let's see where it goes. So that's the psychology of this match. They're not getting in any hurry. They're not setting up any tope el suicidas or anything of that nature. You know, they're not doing, you know, flips over the top rope and just for the hell of it. And we see a lot of that on TV every week in different shows. Guys have got to get their stuff in, or at least that's how they feel. So okay. Now we're going to test the strength. That's the one thing that now, see, this is not taxing on Hogan at all.
No.
And they're doing a great job, these guys, of dragging the crowd in, and Hogan now getting the upper hand a little bit, showing that, hey, this old dog can still hunt.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It reminds you that Hulk Hogan is credible, even at 48 years old here. Which, isn't it amazing? He's 48 here, and they're portraying him as the old man. But nowadays, we see guys who are in their mid-50s main eventing WrestleMania. It's crazy.
Business is changing. Mm-hmm. And it continues to evolve. I don't have an issue on age. I would probably not be setting it to the announce table. But I believe as long as you can do the job and do your work and get people buying tickets for your work, that's all that really matters to me, putting an ass every 18 inches. And these guys did that. They did. The first step was to sell the tickets, and they did that very successfully. Now, Hogan fighting back. He's the underdog. Triple H younger. Is he stronger? Maybe over the long haul, yes. But we're not in the long haul stage of the match thus far.
I thought Triple H was great there.
Yeah, good. That's a nice overhand wrist lock. See, all these moves are challenging Hogan's strength, and his will, his grit, his determination. And Triple H standing over the challenger. With Triple H's championship on the line, just a really nice story to tell.
You brought up a really interesting talking point just before. You said that Hogan wasn't a house show guy. House shows have obviously evolved over the years, but at this time, house shows are a really big part of business. So your champion not being on a house show, I would imagine, is a substantial decision to make. How did you guys go about booking around that?
Well, we needed a main event. And after Hogan did his work with Rock in Toronto at WrestleMania 18, there was a blueprint or an outline of what Hogan could still do effectively and what he couldn't do. So we didn't ask Hogan to do any new moves, anything. Things like that, the facial expression you just saw of Triple H, who now is a little bit conflicted. I may have bitten off more in this match than I could chew. This may be not a good night for me because it seems like Hogan is on his game And you get that from Triple H's amazing facial expressions and his body English. It's a world class, no doubt.
I would argue that this is some of Triple H's best work of his career here, coming off the injury, really hungry to prove that he can be the guy for the company. And
that's a nice heel move.
Mm-hmm.
Hogan seems shocked. So now Triple H is taking over as a heel. He's using a closed fist. There goes the do-rag to expose that massive cranium of the Hulkster. And so you got Triple H now trying to widen the advantage and turn the momentum strictly into his corner.
And when you have two baby faces, because keep in mind, Triple H has been booked as a baby face to this point here. He just won the title at WrestleMania. Someone's got to play the heel in a match like that.
Yeah, it helps. This is it's just the balance of the match. You got a good guy and a bad guy. You got the home team, you got the visitors. And so, yeah, that's kind of where we were with that deal. That was never an issue. Who's going to be the baby face? Who's going to be the heel? That's for newsletter people and things of that nature to try to figure out, you know, how's that going to work? Well, it's going to work because you got a champion who's younger and stronger and healthy now, feeding the comeback.
I bring it up because during the course of this match, as it unfolds and Triple H is putting a beating on Hulk Hogan, you guys on commentary, and we'll go up with the audio at some point soon, are saying consistently over and over, Triple H isn't doing anything wrong. He's not cheating here. It's just business is business. And he's doing what he has to do, even though the crowd's booing him.
It's simply the fact that the Hogan, with all his tenure, all the years in the business, representing the company as he did, setting records. You know, he was the most famous wrestler in the world for many, many years. You know, he's just got involved here in a very physical match. And if you think about what they're fighting for, it makes all the sense in the world. But you notice that Triple H has taken all the bumps.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been pretty much just a few punches and some wrist locks that Hogan's taken at this point. We go to the outside now. It feels like a prize fight. It feels like a title fight, which I like, especially positioned as the main event. These are two megastars that you guys have on your roster at this point. The Meltzer report from earlier this day is that the finish was not decided that Hogan would win the championship until the day of the show. Do you have any recollections of that?
Not really. It could happen, though. It's plausible. It wouldn't surprise me, you know, if that was the case. I don't remember it being a major topic of discussion, quite frankly, because that was going to be strictly up to Vince and the talents.
Sure.
You know, Lawler didn't need to know, and I didn't need to know. Was it me and Lawler on the show?
Yes.
Yeah, so we didn't need to know. You know, as a matter of fact, the less we knew, the better off I thought we did. The better presentation we had, because it was spontaneous. We reacted, and we weren't preconditioned. That's why people say, why don't you want to know the finish? Because I don't want to be preconditioned. I don't want some thoughts in my mind that may be going to go down later that might inadvertently affect my call and affect the storytelling. These guys are working too hard to not think of those type things. And so that's what we did. Our decision was the same as it was in Toronto for Lawler and I. We're going to call what we see to the very, very best of our ability. And we weren't worried about who's the baby face, who's the heel, how many stars will Dave give them. That wasn't in my mind. We got too much to take care of other than worrying about those type of things.
And not just that, but you're a guy who's called professional football, college football. You've called, quote unquote, real sports. And you know that when you get an authentic moment that you don't see coming, it always produces a better moment on the broadcast, too.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're not actors. You know, if I was an actor and we had a script, maybe it would sound different. Maybe it'd be less, spontaneous. That's not the case. Lawler and I were not actors. We're just wrestling people that were gotten to broadcasting.
Trademark catapult there. Triple H, I think, took more catapults in the Attitude Era than anybody. He was so great at selling them. Kick out there. Steve, let's go audio up here. Let's take a listen in on the call from JR and King.
Right hand.
A big, huge fist of the Hulkster. Oh, man.
And Hogan. Hogan now picking up, beginning to build momentum against the game. Great right hands. Hogan scored the first attempted pinfall in this matchup, if you recall, and is now using nothing but basic straight ahead stuff.
Look at that.
How about that?
Hogan,
cutter.
Modified neck breaker, almost a diamond cutter like move by Hogan, taking down the game. And now reaching back for the leg, and the game kicked out. Hogan wanting a faster count. And we have had
He's
all those.
Be thankful Ric Flair's not in this match.
We've had our share of problems with the counts tonight and the officiating. Again, I'm not going to get in that Flair story. The game went right downstairs on that left knee of Hollywood Hulk Hogan. And I know Hogan wears a knee brace on that knee.
There's the booze, JR.
Just a matter of time.
This match is.
Crowd was booing, but it's a legal maneuver. The game's not doing anything illegal.
We weren't trying to make Triple H a heel.
That's exactly it.
Let it flow. If it comes to us, the crowd starts responding, then we can respond as well. Let the guys tell their story. Let the audience react. The talents are smart enough to give the audience time to process what the audience is seeing. Then once all that goes down and starts being processed, then you can get back into story mode. And right now, of course, the knee, specifically the left knee of Hogan, he's had them all operated on, both knees, all of them, two of them, but multiple times. So it was a good story for us to tell that, Hogan's kind of the bionic man here.
And I think even at a more micro level, the beginning of the story of this match is he's trying to go pound for pound with Hogan. Now he realizes that's not going to work. So he's got to be the cerebral assassin, right? That's his character. And I like that character development within the match there.
Yeah, just let it evolve and let these guys tell their story. Pay attention if you're a broadcaster. You want to put both guys over, which is what we try to do. And, Triple H now has got a story. He's got a common denominator, and that's Hogan's left leg. He's debilitating Hogan's left leg. It destroys Hogan's vertical base, which early in the fight he was very, very effective when he was standing up and striking. So Triple H has done a real great job of destroying that vertical base of his challenger and a bigger opponent. And it made sense to me. The story. I didn't talk to these guys what they were going to do before the show. And I love calling Triple H's matches because he's always logical and told good stories. There's exceptions to the rule. What about this and that? Well, he only got 3-star. I don't know. I'm not going there. But it was really a sweet science here what Triple H is doing, going back to the left leg consistently. A lot of talents nowadays would forget the left leg was even injured and go someplace else to quote unquote get their stuff in.
And I think you have to talk about how it takes two to tango, right? Like the offense here from Triple H helps tell that story. But then look at those visuals there from Hogan. Hogan is an all-time great seller, in my opinion. And he gives so much to his opponent's offense every time he's selling like that.
Hogan is smart because he sells with his face.
Mm-hmm.
He's got body English, as we see, that he's battling through, but he sells with his face so well that you kind of know exactly how he's feeling. And right now he's not feeling very good because that chop block again was very effective. Triple H didn't wander away from his object, which was the left leg. He stayed on that, continued to tell that story.
What do you think of the pacing of the match so far?
I like it. Because the audience has a chance to process what they see and then react accordingly. It's just not spot, 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 take a breath, spot, spot. It's not that. And when an audience can't, it's like wrestling is all like being a stand-up comedian. You don't tell a joke and then not give your audience the time to laugh before you tell the next joke. It's logical. And that's kind of what we're seeing here, the story unfolding and they're taking their time and they're letting the announcers fill in the little gaps I think we did a nice job of that night. It seemed like we had a decent call.
Yeah, there was a little brouhaha throughout this night, some referee run-ins, a whole bunch of stuff going on, and you're going to see that play into this match in a little bit. They're telling that story with Ric Flair and The Undertaker at the time. The Undertaker is kind of in the rear view here, leading into what will be the next pay-per-view.
Very heelish here, Triple H choking Hogan. So now the heel, the rugged side of Triple H becoming more prominent, which gives the audience a chance to cheer Hogan more, because Triple H was cheating.
Taking a page out of the dirtiest player in the game here.
Yeah, that's an ugly figure four. I don't know that Hogan's legs could have been much more. He was just in tough shape, man. He's 48, all those surgeries. You know, I admired him for taking the match and for it to come out like it did.
Look how great Triple H is here.
He's torturing Hogan, and Hogan is selling like a drunk man. It's obvious. It's awesome.
It's also a way to give the crowd something to feed into, too. And now here we go. Now we're cheating. Ref's back is turned. We're getting momentum.
So the ref, so Triple H is cheating, and in a few minutes he'll be lying, because he'll be asked, you hold on the rope and all that stuff, all that heel stuff, all the fundamental things that have worked for generations. Heels, you know, we did that literally with Eddie Guerrero, lie, cheat, and steal. And that's kind of what Triple H is trying to do here. He's trying to cheat his way to retaining his championship, and then he'll lie about affecting the, you know, cheating and using the ropes, for example.
Doing it again.
The referee did a hell of a job there, too.
Earl Hebner.
Did a good job. Earl's a hell of an official.
How dependable was Earl at this time?
Well, he's calling this match. That should answer all your questions.
There you go.
Yeah.
Reversing the pressure, JR.
Yeah, it becomes the old saying, it essentially becomes an Indian death lock when you get over on your stomach, reversing the torque and the pressure. That's how I was always taught. And I think that's what the same velocity they were using.
All right, so we're going to start building towards the comeback here in a minute or so. And once the ref starts grabbing the hand, let's go audio up here because I want you to hear how this crowd reacts. It's pretty great. Hulkamania is still running wild here.
They love him. I said it before, it's like going to an Eagles concert, which I'm planning on doing while we're in Vegas.
Very
nice.
They're
playing there, yeah. We're on Saturday night. We're off on Saturday night before the pay-per-view.
All right, let's go audio up here.
Hogan's hand. Uh-oh! And he says it's not over yet.
The fans want Hogan to win.
How's that for a pop?
Right here. Hogan won his first WWE title 18 years ago. Oh! And comes with a desperation suplex that at least is going to buy the challenger a little bit of time. Hogan's left leg, there you see, he's moving that right leg around.
This is a really old school like call, you know, because pace was deliberate. And people said, well, it's a slow pace. I couldn't watch this. It's too slow.
No, I love how measured your call is. Your call is very measured here. You're waiting for the big moment. And scoring with a right hand. Triple H's got to try to get back to those legs of Hollywood Hulk Hogan. It's funny, Jim, when people crap all over guys like Joe Buck, I think Joe Buck is unbelievable at what he does. And he's so good at knowing how to hit the big moment and then let it breathe.
Yep.
There's one of those big moments right now. Chris Jericho. Think Jericho was doing after the WrestleMania loss?
What do you mean?
How'd he deal with that? Because that was, he had a short little title run, And then it was about reestablishing him back in that main event picture. How do you feel he handled all that?
Oh, well, you know, he's a pro. He understands the inner workings of the business. And he's there to take some bumps. Get a little heat. Nice face buster. So the bumps that Hogan could not take, Jericho did. And so you got to see that little action added value, so to speak.
Oh, boy.
Hogan, yeah, this is where it gets serious.
There we go.
You can hear the crowd starting to react, too, because this is the Hogan they wanted to see.
What you going to do? Coming.
This surprised me a little bit.
Well, look who's coming. Here we go. Newest WWE Hall of Famer, The Undertaker, breaking up the pin.
Yeah, a lot of cameos here.
A lot of cameos.
But they all meant something. Boom.
I was going to ask that. So you don't feel this is overbooked at all? You feel this works into the story?
Yeah, because you said it earlier, and I said it earlier. Our champion, who's going to win this match, Hulk Hogan, is not going to be your regular on the road champion.
Yeah,
he just can't. His body won't allow him to hold up. And now he's pissed off that the Undertaker is getting involved. So Undertaker, being the unselfish Clint Eastwood that he is, He played the heel right there. And now there's like the third or fourth leg drop.
Look at that.
The voice of Howard Finkel can't get any better.
Awesome.
And you can tell by the reaction of the crowd, this is exactly what they paid their hard-earned cash to see. They want to hear Hotel California. And they're getting it right now with the lead singer, shall we say.
How great was Lawler in accentuating the big moment as well?
It was great. He was obviously, I've never had a better partner in all my years of broadcasting. He and Heyman were both on superlative level.
Yes.
But they just are different characters. You know, Heyman had that coarse, kind of edgy, obnoxious deal. Triple H bleeding.
Yes, he is.
But see, this makes Triple H comes back full circle, and he's whole. Showing respect for gladiator to gladiator, fighter to fighter.
It's a good tease, too. You're baiting them.
They're chanting for Hogan, even though the stare down is also giving a nice rub to Triple H. This is ring psychology. Their eyes, their hands.
There it is.
Camera work.
I thought this was all done really, really well. Especially since it was a pivot and it wasn't the initial plan.
Well, I don't know what the original plan was going to be. I don't know if anybody knows for sure. Everybody will have an opinion. But these guys executed whatever plan ended up being. These two pros executed it. They told a story. The handshake was brilliant. That put Triple H back in a less than a dark area, totally heel area.
And as you said, we set up opponents. We had that Undertaker run in. We had the Chris Jericho run in. This is an effective piece of business, Jim.
Yeah, it positively affected several talents, and using Hogan as the catalyst.
What did that moment mean to Hulk to get that title win one last time?
Well, I don't have the greatest, I don't have a negative relationship with Hulk. I just didn't know him that well. We didn't work in the same territory for the long lengths of time. You know, he wasn't a Mid-South guy or a WCW guy when I was there. He wasn't there. But I'm thinking he was very proud of it because he came back alive. He regenerated his career. And he is selling merchandise, and he's feeling good about it. So I would suggest he probably had a real nice feel for giving it opportunity and the trust that Vince and the company had in him to go out there and get it done. And I don't think, the match was, a lot of people are going to second guess the match because of the pace. But these guys told a great story, and I was really proud to call it. It was a fun one to call. It was by the book. And it shows you what you can do if you're a good psychologist. And I think that's how those guys won the crowd over. They just told a great story. And I'm sure they weren't worrying about who was the baby face and the heel. They added some things in to make Triple H at best a rugged baby face. He wasn't the old, quite neat baby face. He was a rugged baby face. And Triple H is, we weren't ready to turn him total heel. But he's smart enough to know where to take it and then to step back into the babyface side. Really, Paul Levesque's brilliant mind, grew up a fan and all that good stuff. So I think he's probably, I can't imagine him not being excited or being happy because he did great work that night, as did his opponent.
They went 22 minutes, 4 seconds bell to bell. Dave did give it a star and a quarter, but I wasn't thinking about the star rating at all during the
quarter. I don't understand that. I don't understand that star and a quarter. How anybody is, and Dave's a very bright, intelligent guy, but I just can't agree with him on the star and a quarter. Dave is, he likes wrestling. He's very clear about what he likes and what he doesn't like. And this match probably had too slow a pace for Dave.
That's exactly what it was. And it was too long.
Yeah. And so I didn't feel that way. Me neither. All that means is he and I had a difference of opinion. So, no big deal.
That was a good story told start to finish there, Jim. And I can't even imagine what that match meant for Triple H with it being one of his idols. It must have been very cool. So an effective piece of business, as I said.
It also took care. It also enhanced his reputation in the locker room area because he did a clean job, if you want to say job. He lost cleanly. And he to the other guy's finish, because Hogan had to use his finish two or three times, to me is irrelevant. I don't know. I didn't know how many stars it got, but I wasn't disappointed in it whatsoever. I thought those guys did as good as they could do with what they had to work with. And you're working with a guy that's almost 50, that's had several surgeries, especially on his back. And think about how important it is to have a good, healthy back when you're in the wrestling business. Everything generally ends with you on your back. And so he was fighting through pain and all that. He didn't know how long that pain was going to, he was going to be able to withstand it and shoot. So, I liked it. I'm disappointed that they gave it a star and a half. But, again, it's his educated opinion. My educated opinion for sitting at ringside and calling a match, I thought these guys did a great job.
And ultimately, what are people going to remember? They're going to remember Hulk Hogan holding the Undisputed Championship up in the air with 12,000 Hulkamaniacs going wild. And that's the moment you got.
Yeah, that's what it was his book to do. And they pulled it out of the fire and turned it a match that nobody knew how good it might be. I think Dewey Day was preconditioned. I don't know that Day was a big Hogan fan. It didn't sound like it. But in any event, still relevant. They worked hard. They told a good story. They told a story that a lot of young wrestlers today could watch this match again and learn things from it, and not getting impatient, not being afraid to take your game to in a different perspective, and not be fast, and not be doing things that are not, you know, logical. That was a very logically worked wrestling match. So again, I enjoyed being there and I enjoyed calling it. It was a fun night.
Well, this was a lot of fun too, JR, getting a chance to watch this match back start to finish with you. It's a great supplement piece to the Backlash 2002 episode of Grilling JR, available now wherever you get your podcast. Anything else you'd like to add here tonight?
No, I'm good, man. I'm feeling good. My leg is healing slow as hell, and I'm not crazy about that. These days where I take two flights to get home or take two flights to get to work, just gives you twice as much time for my leg to swell on the airplane, like a lot of people's, their feet swell and so forth, hands, whatever. So that's being a little challenging. My leg's been a little cranky lately, but I'm cancer free. So that's the main thing. It's not returning. It's just all those radiation treatments, 22 of them in a month, just burn it up. So that's where I am right now, just trying to heal, get better and all that stuff. So, but nonetheless, I'm still having a blast doing what I do and selling a little barbecue sauce here, there, and yon at jrsbbq.com. So I always invite folks to check us out. And I always leave them with this. It costs nothing to look. Go on the site, take a look at it. A lot of good gift ideas for wrestling fans and non-wrestling fans. People like to cook, people like to eat. So I appreciate the support everybody gives us for that from our ad-free friends. JRSBBQ.com is, take a look. Costs nothing to look.
Very true, my friend. Hey, listen, we are so grateful for your time. We're so grateful to have you. And I personally, Jim, am incredibly grateful and thankful for your time here tonight and the influence that you've had on my career as a broadcaster. It took 7 months of me working here, but I finally got to work with the Voice of Wrestling, and I'm so excited to do some more. So
I appreciate you, John. You got a good work ethic. You're a smart young man, and I'm sure we'll do more of these as time goes on.
Hell yes to that, my friend. I appreciate you, and we will see you guys next time here on Grilling JR.